everyone. I'm gonna do my best to record episodes back to back right now, but you already know I say that and I don't do it, so I guess we'll see. There is just a lot going on. I came back from my vacation and I am so far behind, and I want to actually dedicate today to getting caught up, but you know me, you know if I say it, it's not gonna happen. Possibly. Anyways, I mean, we are witnessing the downfall of Lala, and I have so many notes that I actually made a few weeks ago from the finale episode, so I'm gonna read through them. I'm gonna do my best with these recaps that I'm going to be doing that are only Vanderpump Rules before I move on to other shows and other programs. But what we're witnessing, I feel like, in a way, it feels unprecedented to me. I can't really remember anyone going about things the way that Lauren from Utah is going about them, and I'm scared. You know what I mean? Like, I'm terrified. I don't like seeing, sorry, I don't like it when people become, when I believe that people become unhinged because they're on reality TV, but yet they're trying to cling to that fame. It's like you need to fix yourself and remain on TV or remove yourself from this. From your job, if it is toxic to you and your well-being, and if you are not good at dealing with the backlash that you're receiving, it's either or. It's like fix yourself or remove yourself from the cameras. And it's just a lot. I'm very uncomfortable seeing pretty much everything that Lala is doing and saying. So, as far as the finale is concerned, we see that Lala tells Katie that every time that she has asked Ariana about Ariana's boyfriend, Dan, Ariana has said that Dan has been in fights before and he does not fuck around. And if Sandoval were to walk up to him, there's no way he'd shake his hand. And then Katie says, no, I think Dan is like the sweetest person. And then we see Sandoval FaceTiming Schwartz, who had a face mask on and is in a tub, and I really love their bromance, even if it's unhealthy and codependent. So Lala doesn't like it that Katie's like, no, he's the sweetest person, and Lala's like, he seems like a square. This guy sounds like a square. Because Ariana says that Dan has been in fights and he's not going to be friendly with Sandoval, that makes Dan a square. Okay. Makes no sense. Like, you know, you got to love production for leaving it in, leaving such dumb quotes in where you're like, do you understand that a square is not somebody who will pummel someone into the ground? Like, that's not a square. If anything, Dan is just protective over his girlfriend. How is that a square? So Brock tells Sheena that between Ariana and Tom, Sandoval reaches out more than Ariana. And Brock says that Ariana bails out on stuff often, or bails on things. And by the way, side note, Brock is looking sexy as fuck in a backwards hat. I'm just so glad he's on the show. Like, let's be real. The men on Vanderpump, like, they're not serving, but Brock, every single time he's on camera, I'm like, ooh, he's so cute. So, Lala asks Ariana, while they're in San Francisco, were you always going to come on the trolley, even if the other person were here? And Ariana goes, oh, I don't know. What does that have to do with anything? Like, it's like Lala is, like, people keep saying that Lala is trying to produce, and I have to agree, because what does whether Ariana would show up or not, if Sandoval was there, have anything to do with them riding the trolley? You know, so they're now in Chinatown having lunch, and Lala said, I told Schwartz that we would have tag teamed him, but I don't think he could handle all this. Nobody wants to handle all that, Lala. Like, that's why you've been single since Randall, because nobody wants to handle you. So Sheena says to Schwartz, "Have you ever had a threesome?" And I love how excited Sheena is to ask this question as if it's never, ever been asked by anyone before. And then Lala starts to grill Dan. Dan looks handsome. Like, he's sexy. Like, that's a real man. I would not be upset if Dan knocked Sandoval's teeth out. And you know, it's like Ariana's fantasy. But then, you know, Sandoval would be pressing all these charges. So Schwartz asks Lala if she's going to ask Dan where he sees himself in 5 years. And then Schwartz asks Dan if he's ever had a threesome. Like, I really love Schwartz in that moment. Like, Lala just kept hammering Dan with questions, and then Schwartz saw that, and so he just wanted to lighten up the mood. So Dan and Ariana, they say what attracted them to each other, and Sheena tries to convince Ariana that Sandoval has changed. And it's weird. Like, Sheena's obsession with getting Ariana to understand why Sheena wants to be friends with Tom is very odd. And it's really, really disrespectful if you think about it. Because if Sheena were with someone for a decade and they did what S Sandoval did to Ariana, I don't think Sheena would want her friends being mutual, like being friends with that person. Nobody, when you think about it, people are being so disrespectful of Ariana. Like, it's a very simple rule. You gotta pick sides sometimes. Like, I have friends who are divorced, I have friends who are broken up with. You have to pick a side. Sometimes you could be friends with both, but most of the time you have to pick a side. It's not that complicated, Sheena. That's actually, it's how it works. And it's not discussed enough. You'll hear it very rarely. People will say that I didn't realize that I would lose so many people in my divorce or in my breakup because, you know, it's the uniting of lives and friends and a building of a community. And it goes away when there's a split. It's not going to be the same. So Schwartz says that Sandoval isn't a trash person. He's a person who did a trash thing. Ariana is activated to the point that I don't believe I've seen her this upset before outside of last season's reunion. And Ariana goes, "A trash thing? You better watch what table you're at if you want to talk like that. You could leave." And it was so gross of Ariana. Like, I mean, Ariana, the way how Ariana has so much rage inside of her. And Sandoval, he's just, you look at him, you glance at him, and you know this man isn't worth it. So it's like, I know that Ariana has a many reasons to be upset, and I think it's devastating to know that she's so upset and so hurt over a man as worthless as Sandoval. But to see Ariana's rage when she was calling Tom an attempted dog murderer and screaming at him, and then to see her here at lunch, who's literally saying that because Tom's best friend is saying that he did a trash thing, that he needs to leave the table, was so wild to me. Has Ariana gone to therapy? I don't think I can recall ever hearing anything about Ariana being in therapy because of what Sandoval and Rachel did to her. And she could definitely use it. I know she's on top of the world. I know she's busy. I know she has like 80 jobs, but there's so much rage in Ariana. And they're taking a break. They usually film in the summer and they're not filming this summer. And I'm so sick of everybody saying this show is done and it's over. Like, can we just like report on the facts? I don't understand why so many podcasters and people want to live in the space of speculation and they're taking their speculation and reporting it as fact. If the show is over, it will be announced and we will move on. If it's not over, I will keep watching just to see the evolution of the people on the show and the storylines. But Ariana is really, really suffering. The way how she got mad at Schwartz, it was weird. It was really, really strange. So then Schwartz goes to Joe's room in San Francisco and asks her if she has a cool outfit for tonight, and she says yes. He then compliments the view in her room, and they are so platonic together. I will get to the reunion, but as far as the finale, these two are so platonic, and I feel that I see Joe lighting up so much around him. Like, first of all, why is a man calling you Joseph? First and foremost, can we start there? Why does Schwartz call Joe Joseph? Isn't her name Joanne or some bullshit? Like, why is he calling her Joseph? Like, guess what? If any of you listening out there, if a man is calling you Joseph, he doesn't want to be with you. He's choosing a name that he probably is not associating with someone sexy, someone he wants to sleep with, someone he wants to be in a relationship with. That's supposed to be a red flag. So, Joseph, I have in my notes, I started to call Joe Joseph. I have in my notes that Joseph said that she doesn't know how to iron, and Schwartz offers to iron her dress. And I mean, I want to say something, but I'm not going to because people today don't get it. All I will say is everybody should have certain skills. So I'm gonna leave it at that. I'm gonna remove gender, and I'm gonna say everybody should have certain skills, like ironing being one of those skills. So then Tom says that Joseph looks like a little kid when that kid gets into their mom's makeup bag whenever Joseph wears makeup. How did that make Joseph feel? That's what I would like to know. You're doing your face. You think you're putting on somewhat of a beat. And the person that you are in love with, that you think you're dating, says that when you put on makeup, it looks like you were a little kid who got into your mom's makeup bag. I mean, like, that is so mean. And Schwartz doesn't realize it. And how about this, Schwartz? If you feel that way about Joseph in makeup, say it to her face. 'Cause that's cruel. And you know she would have a problem with it. Like, you knew how malicious of a comment that was, and that's why you made that comment away from Joe. And makeup takes effort. So imagine putting effort in to look good, to hang out, to see this man that you want to be with, and he's like, "Yeah, you look like a child who got into mommy's lipstick." So then Brock surprises Sheena with roses and chocolate strawberries. And you know what? I hate to say this, but we see so many couples not make it on reality TV. Bravo has an impeccable track record. It's surprising when you think about it that Lisa and Ken are still together. Like, Bravo has obliterated so many relationships. Most of those relationships, of course, are the Real Housewives, but it doesn't matter. It's not, the splits are not reserved for only for Real Housewives. It's so many different people on Bravo shows have, they were married, they filmed, and then they're no longer married. I mean, Vanderpump Rules has had quite a few of those. We got are Katie and Tom Schwartz. We got the breakup of Tom Sandoval and Ariana. We are dealing with the breakup of Brittany and Jax. We are dealing with the breakup of Michelle and Jesse on the Valley. We dealt with everybody else in the cast breaking up. And so I think Brock is really doing the best that he can. He seems to have a heart of gold. He seems to really love Sheena. He deals with insecurity about Sheena, making a lot of money and out earning him and wanting to feel useful. But Brock is eye candy. Like, straight up, he's eye candy. He has an accent. A lot of people are into accents. So I worry about Brock and Sheena staying together, given that women love to see some women, they when they see a man who is great, they're triggered and then they want a piece of that person. And I do believe Brock is ethical, but you could never put any, like, it's not good to put anyone on a pedestal. And so I don't know. I just would feel more comfortable if Brock and Sheena kept their relationship off camera. But I know that they can't. That's a big part of why she's on the show, is she's the only married cast member. But I don't know. I'm worried. I mean, Brock is here on this show kind of presenting himself as the dream husband in a way. Like the way how he stood up for Sheena when Sandoval was trying to tell her that she was the other woman. And Brock is doing his best. And that makes me feel that a lot of women are in his DMs or trying to get at him. And I hope that he never strays. I hope that they stay together. I think that Sheena deserves it. Sheena deserves a good man. I feel like Sheena's been through enough men where they weren't great and it didn't work out, and her time has come. I'm just getting nervous. Like when I see romance like that, because I like romance and I'm not alone. A lot of people, male or female, like romance. And when you just see the effort that Brock puts out, it makes me like, oh girl, I know there are bitches trying to come for your man. So I'm gonna send Brock and Sheena love and light and good vibes. Moving right along. Had a lot to say about it, that apparently. So Schwartz goes to Sandoval's a messy ass room to report back to him that Dan seemed cool, and Sandoval says, Ariana's got great taste in men. And then, I will give Sandoval this. That was a very funny line. And Sandoval, he was looking sexy as fuck. I'm sorry. Sandoval was looking really, really sexy at that moment. He's not my vibe. He's not for me. But Sandoval, he was looking good. I feel like he has his moments. I mean, he's disgusting, but he has his moments. I think I would be a liar if I didn't acknowledge that. So then Lala claims that Ariana has rules that Sheena has to abide by. And Lala has rules. But because Lala is a hypocrite, it doesn't matter, right? Lauren from Utah. So Katie says that Sandoval has made choices for months and has doubled down on them. Hello. Like the way that Katie has Ariana's back this season, it is so abundantly clear. Like, I think that Katie and Ariana are going to be tight from this point forward because Katie has come to bat for Ariana in the finale, at the reunion, prior to this. Now they're in business together. I think they're solid. And I think, when you think about it, Katie's star is going to rise because she's working with Ariana, who is inching her way up to like being like a B-list celebrity. So I don't know. Katie, the way how Katie has so many new fans, and I've never understood the hate for Katie. I've always liked her. She's always been very, very articulate and smart and just calm and collected. And her voice is so, so gorgeous. Her lips are incredible. Like, haters gonna hate, but I think Katie is out here thriving. So we learn at this event of Kyle Chan's that he has whiskey. He's launching whiskey. How is it that Kyle Chan is launching whiskey and we don't see a single whiskey bottle? We don't see a single person take a sip of a shot of whiskey. We don't hear Kyle say the word whiskey. How is that good marketing for Kyle Chan? Why did producers F him over this way? How are you having a whiskey launch party and we don't see the whiskey? I am lost. Everybody thought this was going to be something about Kyle's jewelry, but it's not. Apparently it's about whiskey. What does it taste like? How long has he been working on it? Give us the details. We have none. I really should Google. Let me see if I can't, because I have my screen up. I'm gonna Google Kyle Chan whiskey, because that's how little I know about this Kyle Chan whiskey that he launched the party for on Vanderpump Rules. I know nothing. Okay, so I'm gonna do this in real time. I'm gonna say Kyle Chan whiskey. 'Cause what is this? Okay. So it's saying Kyle Chan and Gold Bar whiskey launch. Okay. I'm lost. So there's that. It sounds like it says Gold Bar Whiskey Diamond Edition is a special blend made in collaboration with Los Angeles celebrity jeweler Kyle Chan. So Kyle Chan, it sounds like Kyle is collaborating with an established whiskey. Okay, whatever. Moving right along, like it was weird. Very. So next, I have my notes when Sandoval is helping to set up the microphones for Sheena to perform. I have in my notes, why does Sandoval's ass look so flat? Me tell you something. One of the things that I'm a magnet for is men with a big ass. I'm not going to go down the list of things that I'm a magnet for, but the universe brings me men who have certain assets, pun intended, that I enjoy and appreciate, and a big booty is one of them. So this whole flat ass situation that Tom Sandoval is like, it's not for me. It's not for me. I'm spoiled. I've been blessed. I've been graced by men who have a wonderful butt, and I'd like to keep it that way. So Sandoval paid his sound guy to fly to San Francisco, and Sandoval did this for the optics. Like, Sandoval is very performative. Ariana calls him that at the end of the finale, and it's true. And I didn't even think about how performative Tom is until she said it, and then it's what, sometimes people will say something and you're like, oh my goodness, and you just rewind to everything that they've done and you're like, okay, this literally tracks. It checks all the boxes the whole time. Sandoval is so effing performative with like paying for James's engagement, all of it performative, performative, performative. So, Sheena in her little testimonial, she goes, but that's just me making it about me, and sips. And okay, Sheena has always really, really cared about what people have to say about her, and that's a big part of why she's such a flip-flopper, is because she's such a shapeshifter and she's trying so hard and it doesn't work. And I don't understand that how she doesn't see that. After all these years, I don't know who Sheena is, because she hasn't presented herself as like a fully formed adult, opinionated adult who is not trying to please everyone. She's obsessed with being liked, and she's too old for that. Like, once you're beyond college, you should be just doing what you believe is best for you and stop caring about other people who, at the end of the day, don't care about you and aren't living your lives. Especially these random trolls online who don't understand. Vanderpump Rules is filmed for a few months. The vast majority of the year, 3/4 of the year, their lives are not being filmed. That means you don't know these people. And then even what you see is like edited down to a few minutes. Like, okay. So I love Ariana's black dress. It was sexy. James, he's really feeling Allie, and they are watching. He wants to watch the sunset with her outside, he says. And James tells her, James tells Allie, my heart explodes. Every time I look at you, I would do anything to make you happy. And Allie says that when she wants to get married, she wants it to be with James. And James is so excited. He starts crying about how he wanted to have a baby at 28. And he says that he loves Allie more than he loves anything. And then he's found someone who truly makes him happy. Okay, full stop. James loves love. James loves relationships. James loves the idea of love and marriage and being a father. And he's focused on that more than he's focused on compatibility. Because James is young and he had to stop drinking for Allie. And I don't believe that James drinking, I don't believe that he was an alcoholic, and I don't believe that he's someone who doesn't have to, or I don't believe that he needed to stop drinking. And even if he did, I feel like that's a decision that he should make on his own. And as I will get into on the reunion, Allie says she will not be with him if he drinks. And that's funny because I can tell you right now, ain't no man telling me that. Like, if you will not be with me if I drink, the relationship is over as soon as those words exit your mouth. Like, I'm good. I'm not a child. I don't need to be told what to do. And if James is drinking and he's not drinking in Allie's presence and he's not bringing any type of drunken a-hole energy to Allie, I don't agree with her saying he cannot drink. I think the compromise could be do not get belligerent and wasted drunk and have an attitude with me around me. But if you want to go and drink socially outside of the home or inside the home, and you're doing it to just chill, relax, unwind, and you're not making a fool of yourself and you're not doing the most, then by all means, do it. But Allie knows she has him wrapped around her finger, and I think that James doesn't like being a celebrity and trusting that the people he meets want to be with him for the right reason. So he's with someone and he wants to make it work because he doesn't like the idea of meeting people who could want to take advantage of him. But I don't think it's fair to like force someone into sobriety and give them that type of an ultimatum when it's not like James has like all these arrests or car accidents or fights under his belt that really would justify saying, okay, he has to keep away. He's more turned up when he drinks, but who cares? I mean, Allie does, but I just think she should be with somebody sober who was sober before she met him instead of forcing that upon someone. I think that that would breed resentment. Like, James is happy now, but down the road, is he really gonna be happy with this whole sober lifestyle? And that has yet to be seen. So then Joe shows up and says that she really loves Schwartz and that they make a really good team and that she would have liked for them to be together. And it breaks her heart, but what is she supposed to do? Just lay in bed and cry. Okay. Joe believes something that Schwartz doesn't believe. And we have all been there. The problem it or sorry, the difference is we have not said these things on television. We've all been lucky enough to not have someone make an ass out of us on television. Joe, on the other hand, is really struggling with the fact that Schwartz's actions prove that he doesn't care. And Joe says, quote, I want him in my life for the rest of my life. Okay, so that's great, but both people have to want to be in each other's lives for the rest of their lives. If that's supposed to happen. If you want to have a lifers, really, if you want to be lifers with somebody, then they have to co-sign on that. And then Schwartz encourages Joe to go over to Katie and apologize because this is Schwartz knew that Katie was going to eat Joe up alive or Joseph. So Brad, Ariana's bestie, says, "Oh, here comes my favorite cracked out person." And Brad gets up and walks away. And Joe says to Katie, "I'm sorry if I hurt you." And Katie says, "Sorry if? It should just be sorry. You're weird." Now, Lala, the queen of insults, comes in with, "No, Katie, don't do that." Katie goes, "I just feel like you always had it for him and you were just like waiting for your moment." Of course, that's true. Joe denies it, and Lala says, "I don't know if I believe that, Katie. Like, Lala, shut up. You don't know anything." So Katie erupts and says that Joe should have stayed with someone else. And then Joe goes, "I was crowd surfing. No, let him go." Like, the one who needs to let him go, Joe, is you. And you shouldn't be on TV saying you were crowd surfing. I'm sorry. Do you know how that sounds for someone older than like 24 to be saying on TV? So Jo turns her head to the side and she cries like the psycho pussy that she is. And Schwartz says that Jo was just coming to make peace. And Katie says, "I don't want peace." What a gangster ass bitch Katie is. Mad respect. I mean, in case I like, keep her away. It's not an ultimatum. So Brock and his big ants are his big ass are dancing, and he's a sex symbol. He's kind of corny, but it's adorable. So Sheena says that by trying to be loyal to Ariana, she feels like she's losing herself. Sheena's allegiance to Tom is inexplicable because given what Tom did to Ariana, it should make you question if Tom is so great. So Tom walks up to Dan and Ariana, puts his hand on Dan's shoulder, and says, "Hi." Ariana is in her phone the entire time. Schwartz says that Sandoval shouldn't apologize to Ariana tonight with Dan. It's not the right time, but of course, Sandoval doesn't give a shit. So then Ariana goes to hug Sheena after her performance, and Sheena then talks about seeing this genuine side of Sandoval for 15 years and how he's been a good friend to her. And Ariana goes, "Don't talk to me about that path of growth. He's an ex-boyfriend of mine who does not deserve to be in my presence and breathe the same air as me, and that will not change." Hello. Imagine going through what Ariana has gone through, and then you have to live in the same house with this person. And then you have to interact with people who won't stop shoving him down your throat. Like, shut it down already. Shut it up. Like, she doesn't want to hear Sheena talk about Sandoval because Ariana is so bothered that she doesn't want to hear his name. So stop coming to her with this. Like, Ariana is with her man having a good time. Shut up, Sheena. And then Sheena, you saw it. She was trying and failing. Trying and failing to get Ariana to see that, Sandoval wants to apologize or some bullshit. So then Lala says, goes on this diatribe, this monologue that, everybody has talked about. And it's the first of some of the worst dumb shit that Lala has done. And I have it typed out here. So Lala goes, this, and she's talking about Ariana. This happened to her. The world rallied around her. She now thinks she is Beyonce. It's bullshit that she can't film with someone, that she stays under the same roof. It's a lot that she's saying, "Don't fuck with Tom Sandoval, but I'm gonna sleep down the hall with Tom Sandoval." It's a lot of breaking the fourth wall. I get it. He fucking cheated. You did a really fucking shitty thing. It's weird how you looked us all in the eye and said a lot of fucking shit. But he did not kill somebody. And Sheena goes, "I know." And then Lala goes, "She's with someone 8 days later. I've never in my life experienced someone who gets cheated on and suddenly she becomes God, okay? I love filming the show because I feel it is real. For Ariana to walk out this way is such a slap in the face. This is what we do. We've been doing this for most of our adult life." So then we have Sandoval saying, "I love it. It's good for me." He says that to Schwartz regarding Ariana walking away from him. So production hates Sandoval. I'm happy about that, but it's not good for you, Tom. Like, nothing's good for you. I don't think Tom had a redemption arc. It's very obvious that the season was set up for him to have a redemption arc, but he failed. He's not, I don't think he's capable of feeling remorse and being genuine and getting people to be on his side. He's moved on, and we need to stop talking about Scandoval, but which hopefully we will not in future seasons. However, like, Sandoval has not cleaned up his image. He's a clown. So I'm glad Ariana walked away, and I just hope that she could hurry up and sell their house and live in the house that she bought full time and be away from such a gross fuckboy. All right, y'all. I will get to the reunion episodes next.